Tonight, God's Word comes to us from Psalm 90. Psalm 90, the first of the book, the first psalm in the fourth book of the Psalter. We're going to be reading the 17 verses of Psalm 90. Psalm 90, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we are here tonight at the end of 1 year and approaching the beginning of another. It's a good time to reflect upon the past. It's a good time to anticipate what the future might hold. It is a time of transition for us to recognize the passage of time. We can often get so busy in our lives that we don't notice. Our days keep moving forward. We are creatures in time. Psalm 90 seems an appropriate psalm to use on a night like this. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. A reminder of God's faithfulness in the past and our hope for the future. We look at verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. The passage of time and the need for instruction, continued instruction from God. And this last verse, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. God's favor resting upon us and our anticipation for that to continue in the future. Beautiful reminders of God's faithfulness in Psalm 90. And then there's somewhat of a jarring disconnect with some of the rest of this psalm. Verse 3, you return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." Verse 5, you sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream. Verse 7, we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath, we are dismayed. In verse 9, for all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. Almost as if there are competing claims going on in this psalm. It is a psalm about God's faithfulness, but also about the trials that we face in life. It's beautiful that the psalmist brings these two together to remind us that God is there in every part of our life. God is not only there when things are going well, but also when we are finding ourselves distressed and dismayed, that same faithful God still continues with us, his people. He is the God over all times and all things that we face, whether good or bad. And so we look at this psalm this evening with hope, with assurance, with comfort for the year to come. That hope begins by reminding ourselves that hope is not in who we are, but it is in God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Hope for the new year, hope for the future begins with acknowledging who God is. He is the one who dwells with his people. Our hope is not found in what we can do. It is not found in the work of our hands. Our hope is found in God himself and what he has done. And that's significant when you consider who the author of this psalm is. The superscription of the psalm says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Moses, who was God's chosen to lead his people out of captivity. Moses, who would stand before Pharaoh. Moses, who would bring the 10 plagues. If anyone had reason for confidence in himself, it was Moses. Look what I've done. But Moses recognizes he was simply fulfilling God's plan. He was being used by God. God was the one who was active. God was the one who was in control. Lord, you have been our dwelling place. Recognizing God is in control. And not only recognizing what God does, but recognizing who he is. Notice what Moses says. Lord, you have been our dwelling place. He doesn't say, Lord, you have provided for us a dwelling place. Lord, you yourself are that dwelling place. Similar to the words of Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. Not simply provides a refuge and strength, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. We began our first night with the words of Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. God himself is the refuge. God himself is the fortress. God himself is the dwelling place where he cares for his people. And we have seen God caring for his people in our own congregation. We have seen that in our families. Even in times of struggle, even in times of difficulty, God continues to go through that with us. He does not leave us alone. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our dwelling place. We flee to him in those times of difficulty, those times of trouble. Again, we've seen that in our own congregation, God's continued provision for us, his people. This coming Lord's Day, we will install and ordain new office bearers. Again, God's provision for his church, this place where his name dwells. He continues to provide for us. God is our refuge, our strength, our fortress, our dwelling place. And he is so for all times. Verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God has always been the dwelling place of his people. God has always been the strength and the refuge to which we can flee. We can flee to him at all times, all of us in various generations. He says, you are the dwelling place in all generations, our children. Children, you can go to God in times of trouble, in times of difficulty. He is always there from everlasting to everlasting, the God for his people, a refuge, a strength, our dwelling place. And because of that, we can look forward to the new year with hope, with confidence, knowing that God continues to hold on to his own, to continue to lead and to guide and to protect. We make that confession of faith in our God in spite of what we may see around us, in spite of challenges that we continue to face. Verse 3, you return man to dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like a grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. The psalmist reminds us of our own mortality. He reminds us of the frailty of our life, like grass that fades away and withers. We simply can't do everything we used to do. Our bodies change, we get older. The frailty of life becomes a reality. And yet God remains faithful. God remains the same for his people. There are those in our past year, as I mentioned, who have gone to be with the Lord. They are with him even now. They faced the reality, not only the frailty of life, but the end of life here on earth. It was not the end for them. They are even now with that God, that dwelling place, that refuge and strength. He is the God who is forever there for his people, in spite of the constant challenges we might face, in spite of what we see around us. We have hope. We have assurance because God is the God who is faithful, faithful to his word. He is faithful to his word in spite of our mortality, in spite of our own sin that we deal with. Verse 7, for we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. We still struggle with our own fallenness. We struggle with our own besetting sins. This is a challenge to our hope for the future. We wrestle with personal failures that we have had, things we have done, things we have left undone, the difficulties in life, the challenges of life. Verse 10, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. An honest look at the life that we live. It is a life of toil. It is a life of trouble. Just because God is a faithful God doesn't mean everything is easy and fine for his people. But he is with us in those times of toil. He is with us in those times of trouble. We can celebrate tonight. It's appropriate to celebrate at the beginning of a new year because we have a God who is faithful. We have hope for the future. The trouble is, so often we take our eyes off God and we simply put our eyes on ourselves. And we think that we have to figure out how to get out of these all these trials, out of these difficulties. We must put our eyes firmly on that God, firmly in that dwelling place, that security, that hope, that comfort, the God who has chosen, the God who has chosen to love us as his own. That's where our hope is found. That's where our comfort is found. Not in the frailties of this life, not in my mortality, not in my sin, but in what God has done. In spite of my mortality, He has given me a new life. In spite of my sin, He has washed me and cleansed me. And that's the hope. That's the hope for every one of us tonight as we look toward the future, the new year. To put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. To know the assurance of the comfort of sins forgiven. Yes, we'll still struggle with besetting sin, but they are forgiven by God, forgiven in Christ. We can have great hope for the future that God will continue to work in us. Verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Recognizing we must go again and again to God for His grace, for His mercy, for His compassion, teaching us to know Him more and more, to love Him more and more, for He loves us. He loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for us, to wash and cleanse us from all of our sins. We are those who can have hope for the future. Because that hope comes from God Himself, in spite of the challenges we still face, we can have confidence. Verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. We can have confidence in God that He will satisfy us with His steadfast love, that we can rejoice and be glad in Him. Being satisfied, knowing the love of our God. Being satisfied that He continues to work in us and to grow us for His honor and glory. It's New Year's Eve. It's a time where people often make resolutions. I don't make resolutions. I do like to, however, set goals for the new year. Maybe you set goals this time of year as well. Maybe some financial goals, maybe some family goals, maybe some vocational job goals. I guess I would ask you this question. Have you set any spiritual goals for the upcoming year? That you might grow in your knowledge of God, that He might continue to satisfy you with more and more knowledge of who He is, more and more knowledge of His Word, more and more recognition of what He has done for you. Goals to grow in our knowledge of Him, grow in our love for Him, as that faithful God who gives us hope for the future. We read in verse 16, let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Yes, God is still at work in us. That work of sanctification, making us more and more like Christ, conforming us more and more to His will. God continues to be at work in the lives of His people. And that gives us hope. And that gives us assurance and confidence in our lives and the lives of our children. This past year, we've had some of our covenant children profess their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, embracing the promises that were made to them when they were baptized, and embracing those promises as their own. That is God's work in them. We should be encouraging our children to recognize you have been baptized. You've been given all the blessings that God can give to you of a Christian family and a Christian church. And we need to, in age-appropriate ways, encourage them to embrace that as their own. To not simply be the recipient of all these blessings, but to commit then to live in a way that recognizes all of God's goodness that He has given to them. For the psalmist ends this way, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Now, he shifts somewhat here. He's been talking about the work that God is doing in us, the hope that we have in Him. He's our dwelling. He's our refuge. He's our strength. In spite of our weakness and frailty. But he concludes by saying, establish the work of our hands. The psalmist recognizes that, yes, growth in sanctification, growth in our knowledge of Him is a work of God, but that work To complete that work, God uses means. He uses means that we are to take advantage of, that we are to embrace. God uses the means of grace to grow us in our knowledge and love for Him. Certainly it is His work, but He calls us to avail ourselves of every opportunity to grow in these ways, establish the work of our hands. What is your intention for this upcoming year with regard to growing in your knowledge of the Word of God? God does not simply do that automatically, magically, but he calls us to be serious students of His Word. Of course, that begins with attendance at worship. It begins with being in His house every Lord's Day to be instructed in that Word of God. And God is so gracious, so merciful. In this church, we are allowed to do that twice every Lord's Day, availing ourselves of all these opportunities, these things that our hands can hold on to, gifts from God, to be sure. But He calls us to be here. He calls us to learn more, to grow in our knowledge, grow in our wisdom, that He might establish that work. Oh, all the praise and honor and glory goes to Him. But it's evidence of His work within us when our hands embrace all the blessings that God lays out before us. As we enter this new year, we have every reason for hope for the future, because God Himself is our dwelling place. A God who knows our own frailty and mortality, a God who knows our sin and has forgiven our sin in the giving of His Son and the shedding of His blood, and a God who calls us to keep our eyes firmly fixed upon Him as He, by His Spirit, continues to grow us up in Jesus Christ. Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Let the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Oh, may God work mightily, powerfully in this new year as we continue to hope in Him, the one who's in control of everything that will unfold in the year of our Lord, 2026. Let's join together in prayer. Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever You had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. We praise You for Your greatness. We praise You for Your majesty, and we thank You, Lord God, that You continue to work in the lives of Your people. Teach us to number our days, to recognize the passage of time, that we may get a heart of wisdom. And Lord God, as You work in us, as we begin to embrace these glorious truths and grow in You, we pray that You would establish the work of our hands upon us. To You, O God, will go all the praise, all the honor, all the glory, as You continue to give blessing to us, Your people. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.